My name is Father Ryan O'Neill. Wow, that's a lot louder. My name is Father Ryan O'Neill. I'm the vocation director for the Archdiocese. And about 8 years ago, I was assigned to this parish as a seminarian. So I spent 2 years of my formation coming here every weekend, and I spent a summer here as well with Monsignor Ed Bult. So happy memories coming back. This is one of my first masses back here at the parish. So thank you, Father David. Thank you, Father Nick, for having me back. And later tonight, after this mass, we're having a special dinner with a group of young men who are discerning God's will, and we're going to be talking about priesthood. So at the rectory, these fine priests and myself will be having dinner to talk about discerning the priesthood with a group of young men from this parish. Speaking of discernment, my favorite subject since I'm the vocation director, Moses had quite the discernment in his life. And in today's first reading, we see the beautiful blossoming of his vocation, literally. God's call for him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. But Moses didn't quite, I wouldn't say Moses' discernment is the discernment we should all imitate. But it does give me hope, and I think it should give us all hope, to look at all the mistakes that Moses made, and yet where God led him, and how God continued to work in his life. Right? Let's take a very, very beginning of Moses' life. Pharaoh commanded that all of the baby boys be thrown into the river for dead. And so his mother hides him in a basket and sends him down the river. Now we sit here and we say, yawn, no big deal, Father Ryan, I've heard that story 100 times. But can you imagine being that mother? The heartbreak, the stress, the fear? Oh my God, someone wants to kill my baby. I have to hide him in a basket and hope that he doesn't die in the Nile River with crocodiles and storks. This wasn't like a happy-go-lucky, oh well, God's in control, no big deal, good luck, baby. This was real. She didn't know how this was going to turn out. And can you imagine being Moses? Like, what are you doing, Mom? You throw me in a basket? This isn't fair. Of course, he was a baby, so he couldn't think that. But this was how his life started, on the wrong foot, I would say. And how many of us feel like we've been handed a bad hand in life? That's not fair. I've been like this since I was born. I was born into a family. Like, this isn't fair. Guess what? God knows. God knows all the disadvantages you have. God has a providential plan. That's the key. Everything that God has planned for your life is for good. Yeah, right, Father Ryan. Come on. My mom dropped me off in a river in a basket. How can that be for good? Well, so Moses gets picked up by who? You know the story. The princess, right? Oh, baby! Right? She picks him up while she's taking a bath with her servers or whatever, and she picks up baby Moses, and that's how he gets his name, Moses, to draw out. So she draws him out of the river. Well, I wonder if that was just a coincidence. Thanks, God. And then she raises him in the richest, finest, best household in all of Egypt. The Pharaoh's household. Talk about a turn of events. He almost died, and it didn't look too good. And yet in God's providence, God's perfect plan for Moses, he was adopted by the very daughter of Pharaoh himself. And so he's raised learning how to read hieroglyphs, right? Learning how to speak Egyptian. And yet he also knows his roots. He also knows that he's from the Hebrews. He knows that his actual biological family is enslaved. And so Moses is kind of torn between two worlds. Maybe like a Catholic high school boy. I'm raised Catholic, but I really want to play football for Regis. So I want to be like those guys. And they do things that aren't quite that cool with the Catholic Church. Torn between two worlds. He loves being a part of the Pharaoh's family, but he knows that he's actually an Israelite and that he should actually be faithful to God and he should actually be saying his prayers. And so in the midst of this tension, he's trying to figure out what to do with his life, right? And is he always looking to God for direction? Probably not. He's probably confused about God. There's Ra and there's Osiris and all these other Egyptian gods. Oh, and then there's, you know, the God of the Hebrews, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whoever he is. Does anybody really know who God is? I mean, this sounds like me when I was in college, when I was in high school. My mom and dad, they don't really know. They just make me go to church because that's what they do. So Moses was conflicted. And yet he knew that he had roots, and he knew that he loved his biological family. So what happens? Instead of asking God and having a relationship with God, what do you want me to do with my life? He takes things into his own hands, and he sees an Egyptian whipping one of the Hebrew slaves, punishing him. And what happens in Moses? Like a good young man with lots of virility and anger and zeal, he grabs the Egyptian and he throws him off the top of the scaffolding, kills him. Takes things into his own hands. He doesn't sit back and say, God, what do you want me to do? He doesn't wait and get on his knees and in silence and say, Jesus, what's your will? Like most young men, he just grabs life by the neck and he throws off that Egyptian. He says, justice. Justice. I'll take justice into my own hands. Sounds like pretty bad discernment to me. Yes or yes? He's not doing so good, people. Moses is not doing so good. He just murdered somebody. Murdered. Cold blood killing. He was angry, and he let his anger get the best of him. I don't know about the rest of the men in this church, but I know that I've struggled with anger. And my anger sometimes gets the best of me. So what does Moses do? Is he humble? Does he repent? Does he come back home asking for forgiveness? No, he panics. He panics. Also, like a good teenage boy, he panics. And what does he do? He runs away. He gets the heck out of Dodge. I just killed somebody. My dad, stepdad, is the king of Egypt. This doesn't look good. He panics. And he runs away. Where does he run to? The middle of nowhere, Podunkville desert. He still isn't listening to God. He still doesn't care about what God's will is. He's just angry and sad and conflicted, which I think we can all relate to. But God doesn't give up on Moses. God doesn't give up on you. No matter how many mistakes you've made, no matter how many people you've murdered, no matter how many panics you've been in, no matter how many deserts you've tried to hide in, God doesn't give up on you. And he's not giving up on Moses, as we see. But years and years and years and years go by. Years. Years and years. By the time Moses sees God in the burning bush, he's in his 40s. Yikes, what's been going on? Well, he got married, had a couple kids, and now he's what? Just being a shepherd. Just being a shepherd, just doing his job, taking care of his wife and his children. And it's when he settles down and learns how to be quiet and listen that he finally hears God's voice. Now, I don't think you have to wait till you're 40 to do that, but that's what happened to Moses. I don't think you have to wait until you've made tons of mistakes to begin to discern God's will. But this is what happened to Moses, and God doesn't give up. He keeps pursuing Moses. He keeps looking for Moses. He keeps looking for opportunities to tell Moses what his will is for his life. And not just for Moses, but for the whole people. You see, your vocation affects the entire world. Right, Mom and Dad? Come on, Father Ryan. I just got married. You know, it's just me and my husband. We had a couple kids. It's not that big a deal. Yeah, right. One of your kids could be a doctor someday and save somebody's life. Your vocation makes a difference. Your vocation is more important than your job. The fact that you have children as a married couple is more important than the fact that you can unplug a sink. Thank you, Mr. Plumber. The fact that you become a priest someday or a religious sister in order to intercede and to bring the spiritual life to thousands of people is very important. See, our vocations affect the whole world. And when Moses is scared and hiding and trying to avoid his past, the guilt, the shame, that's when God shows up. When Moses is trying to avoid everything he hates about himself, God finds him in the desert alone and in silence, with maybe a few sheep in the background. No radios, no iPhones, no Netflix, no college basketball tournament brackets. I know, I love all those. That's why I said them. By himself, with nothing to do but be bored with the sheep. How often do we give ourselves permission to be bored? When was the last time you forced yourself to be bored? It's really hard. But when you do that, God can speak. Because what happens? You're quiet. There's no screen in front of your face. There's no words distracting you. It's just you and God. And then God will show you his beauty. Just like he showed Moses his beauty in the burning bush. He said, "Moses, Moses." He answered, "Here I am." And he had the most profound experience of God that any man, woman, or child has ever had in the history of the world. Because God didn't give up on him, and Moses learned to listen. God is not giving up on us. If we begin to recognize that, then why not start listening? You might say, "Father Ryan, I'm already 65. I'm already 75. It's not too late. God still has something he wants to tell you." "Father Ryan, I'm only 14. I'm only 12. It's not too early. God has something he wants to tell you. He's alive, and he has a perfect plan for you, and he wants to show you that plan in beauty and in love."